Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a place for training trailblazers to get real. I'm Lynn Christensen Esker of NovoEd. And today I'm joined by Christy Larson, a manager of learning design and innovation specialist at ADP, a leading provider of human resources management software and services. Christy, welcome to NovoEd Talks.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Let's start off with a little bit about your background and about your role at ADP.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I am the manager of learning design and I oversee all of our new hire programs at ADP. And then I also serve as the innovation specialist for the COE of design. So I get to look at all of our problems, issues, pain points, and figure out what's out there that can help us solve those problems. And sometimes it's a tool, sometimes it's a new process. But it's definitely always interesting and a lot of fun.
I mean, you've been in the business for a while and you have this educational background in ed tech, it looks like. I've seen that's where your degree is and you're pursuing another degree in that. And the aspect of gamification and corporate training is really interesting to me. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have always been fascinated by outside the box learning. And one of the items that fits into that category is gamifying learning. Whether it happens to be inserting games within courses or just gamifying the overall training program. For example, assigning points for completing different courses. And so one of the things that I have done extensive research on is gamification within the corporate environment. It's gamifying courses within the corporate environment's relatively new. It was introduced probably two decades ago, but it was introduced very poorly and kind of failed in its inception. And so now people are kind of getting back into introducing it. And they're having a lot more success with it. In the research that I've done, people within the corporate environment are really receptive to it. And they tend to show a lot greater success rate with transfer of the material when they're able to learn in a gamified environment, whether it's an actual game style learning or a simulation. And that's because it gives them the opportunity to practice and take risks without the fear of any consequences from if you're failing with a client, that's a completely different story than if you're just failing on your computer. And it tends to also increase the engagement and motivation for your learners. One of the things, you know, that we often hear is, oh my God, I have to take another training. And you know, I did a time machine themed escape room for a training one time. And I had someone who came to me afterwards, and the point of the game was they had to come up with a code to help the person within the game escape. And they had to find the code by solving a series of clues related to the content. And one person came to me at the end and she said, "You have to tell me what that code is, because I've just played that game four times and I can't figure out what the code is." And I said, "So you're telling me you voluntarily retook this training four different times?" And she's like, "Yes, because I had to find that code." And so competition's just really a big driver for people.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's a testament. Wow, four times. That's crazy. That's exactly the kind of stickiness you want, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so who are your learners? Can you talk about some of their biggest challenges and maybe how this approach falls into addressing those challenges?
Yeah, so our learners are a combination of all of our employees at ADP who implement and service clients, as well as we have client learners. And so you're talking about a range in people from, you know, brand new college graduates fresh out of school to an associate with 40 years of tenure. And when we talk about, you know, their biggest challenges, one is going to be the complexity of the role. We, you know, our associates really need to be able to assist clients with anything from effective dates on their benefits to taxes to company mergers. And so being able to help them effectively deal with all of those issues without overwhelming them is one of the challenges. And another is the sheer variety of ADP products and services. And being able to identify where their role fits into that larger company ecosystem. And then I would say lastly is the job shop that many people face. And this really happens at any company, particularly when they have training as a silo separate from the floor. And so basically, you know, in a lot of companies, you have where the business unit says, "Okay, we just hired these people, training, they're yours for the next 7 weeks, then they're ours." And so then they go and sit in this classroom for 7 weeks, and now they come out of the classroom and we say, "Okay, here's your desk, your phone's ringing, good luck." And they think coming out of the classroom, "Okay, I got this." And then that first call comes in and they're like, "Oh, I don't think I have this." And so figuring out ways to address that job shock is also a significant challenge.
Sort of related, like, how does your team identify and address those skill gaps or those those areas of knowledge, maybe product knowledge, that within your organization? Like, how do you go about figuring out what they are in the first place?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do is we try to design our programs using data and have really data-driven curriculum. And so we look at, for each of our different business units, what are the top 80% of calls that are coming in, and you know what subjects are those related around, and then once we identify, you know, what subjects are coming in or what call drivers are coming in, then we look at how Does our current training address each of those topics? Is it in there? Is it not in there? And we're definitely moving away from the traditional format where the business continually tells you, we need to put this in training. We need to put this in training. And by the end, you have this training that's this huge mammoth program, and there's no way that the learners can even come out with any sort of, excuse me, semblance of what they're doing. And so when you use data and analytics to identify what is this person going to need to know, that really helps you to craft a program that addresses those skill gaps, that they are going to need to do that job effectively. And it also, ends up in a better experience for the learners. And when you're using analytics to identify skill gaps and, in versus the anecdotal training development and anecdotal evidence that we maybe have used in the past, that also helps you from a project management standpoint to really clearly define the scope and breadth of that training. If it's not supported by that data, it's not going to go in the program. So when we look at what these call drivers are, and we make sure that these associates are able to effectively answer and deal with issues related to those through hands-on and scenario-based training, it makes a huge difference. And really helps us increase not only performance, but employee confidence.
How do you measure whether it's been effective or not?
The way that we measure is that we do a 45-day self-reported confidence assessment by our associates. And when we switch to the data-driven model versus the traditional anecdotal model, we found an increase of 20% in associate-reported confidence using the data-driven approach versus the anecdotal, in terms of how they do their jobs and how confident they feel 45 days out. Other ways that we measure are through we do what we call our training net promoter scores. So our associates get to rate all of the training that they take. We also look at how those associates are performing with their job analytics in terms of things like average call handle time and measurements like that. If an associate is definitely experiencing some skill gaps, they're going to not be able to handle as many calls. How many calls are they having to transfer because they're not able to answer those issues or answer those problems? So that's another way that we measure the success.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What role does technology play in your programs there at ADT? I mean, do you leverage tools and or platforms or anything to enhance the experience for employees?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm the innovation specialist. So technology is really my wheelhouse and what really gets me excited with how it can help make your make our learning and development programs more successful. So we incorporate technology in both the development and delivery of our training. Because our company sells software and services to clients that use that software, it's important that we provide our associates with hands-on opportunities during the learning process. So we offer practice activities using training environments that are modeled after our products. So they actually would log into the computer just as our client would, and they're able to walk through our software just as our clients do. If that's not feasible, we do have, some of our products where we may not have a training environment built, then we build digital simulations for them to go through and practice with. We also leverage AI-based tools to generate and translate training videos, and to provide associates with the opportunity to practice handling calls from clients with an AI platform. So the AI platform within the computer calls our trainees, calls our learners, and it's just like this is Christy at Acme Services, and I need help with a fee that showed up on my invoice or whatever it happens to be. And then the associate has the opportunity to actually talk to the computer like they would talk just on a call. It scores their performance. They have the opportunity to do both a guided practice, which will prompt them at each step of what they should do next, what they should say next. And then they have an unguided, which we leverage for assessment purposes. And that will then give them a scorecard of, hey, Christy met these top three objectives in this call. Here are some things that she needs to work on. And then their managers can look at those scorecards and work with the individual, or their mentor can look at the scorecard and work with that individual on the things that they need more support on. We also use technology to deliver an annual professional development conference for all of our L&D associates. I actually build a platform out, and they, just like you would go to any virtual conference, we've got presenters, we've got breakout sessions, we've got a little expo floor where we showcase our new technology, all in this virtual environment. And then it also gives people in the various countries that we have L&D professionals in to network with each other in a full day dedicated just to professional development.
Your programs, not just for learners, but for your own team, are just, they sound so robust. That's exciting. Do you have any challenges? I mean, it sounds like you're very buttoned up, but everybody has like something that they struggle with. What are yours, and how are you approaching them?
Certainly everybody faces L&D challenges. I mentioned one, and it's something that everybody faces no matter where they work, and that's when the business wants to just keep putting more and more content into the training, but you don't get any more time to deliver that. And so that is one of the benefits of having that data-driven model for your content development, because then you can say, does that content fit within what the data is telling us? If we've got these 10 call drivers and you've identified that your program needs to be able to answer calls for these 10, does that content go with one of those 10? If not, then it's going to have to go into an advancing proficiency program. And so recently we redesigned a training program using analytics. And so we were able to look at the data, identify the top 80% of the calls. We worked with the business to identify specific skills and foundational knowledge for just those categories. And then once it was done and rolled out, super successful. Like I said earlier, that was the one that really gave us the 20% increase in associate confidence. But it also, because we worked so closely with the business, had the business feel a lot of ownership over that training program as well. And I think that was also a key factor in the success. And it also helped the business understand why maybe adding additional content was not the way to go with training. Another challenge has been to overcome the business versus training mentality. You know, when I first got into L&D in the mid-90s, it was okay, they belong to training until they finish their new hire training, then they become ours. And it wasn't a partnership, it was an us versus them. And you really need to work on developing that relationship with the business. It takes a lot of communication, a lot of listening to each other. Once you get that partnership forged, then I'll tell you, it's just smooth sailing for everybody involved. You know, the associates feel doubly supported. Business feels really excited about their people participating in the training experience. Learning and development feels really engaged and has ownership over the success of that business unit. So, those are really the biggest L&D challenges that we face.
I don't think you're alone in that. As we kind of wind down in our conversation today, you were sharing with me earlier before we started recording about how you engage your very virtual, very global team and build a really great dynamic working relationship. Can you kind of go into that again? That was really interesting to me.
Yeah, so as I said, we have a combination of associates all across the globe. ADP has designers that go from, you know, we have some in Australia, we have some in Romania, India, to over here in North and South America, and trying to craft a very connected team and a very engaged team takes a conscious effort. And so we do different engagement activities on my team. As I said, I call it Team Hollywood because they're all legends in their own right. And so for Team Hollywood, we do different engagement activities each day. We have Music Trivia Monday and Tell Us About Yourself Tuesday and Wednesday Wins and Losses. And that gives them the chance to get to know each other. You know, during Music Trivia Mondays, people talk about concerts they went to. And then the next thing you know, somebody else says, oh, I went, you know, I saw that concert, but in this location. And it gives them other things to connect with each other about. And as a result, they have built this relationship with each other that's more of a family versus a workplace. It doesn't come easy, it doesn't come without effort. But if you can craft activities with engagement in mind, it really drives those connections. We have they'll give each other a hard time just like brothers and sisters would, but they would drop anything and be right there to help each other out, whether it's a problem with training and development or something going on in maybe in their personal life. They just really look out for each other when you can craft those engaging activities. And they laugh every day. There's not a single day that goes by that I don't laugh. And that just really makes the day so much more enjoyable.
Sounds amazing. I want to join your team. It sounds like a lot of fun. Christy, thank you. This has been a fantastic conversation. You've had so many great perspectives, and it sounds like you and your team have a lot of fun and get a lot of really great work done, and that your learners benefit from it every step of the way. So,
Absolutely.
yeah. So, thank you to everyone for joining us in this episode. See you next time on the Novo Ed Talks podcast. And thank you again, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye-bye.